This is Pure Decking for Tuesday, July the 26th, 1976. So, with me today, we have the BSV, Nox, Heavy Metal, and I'm Morps. What's up, guys?
Hey, hello. How's it going?
Wow, that was, like, really fake.
Yeah.
You don't pay us enough to act decent.
I pay you?
Exactly, you don't pay us enough.
I was going to say, this would explain some of the financial issues going on around here. We're paying these people?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what he's paying you guys. I get money. What's your problem, BSV? Nox?
I just get ninja.
I just hurt myself laughing to day 9.
Oh, all right.
Well, you know.
I mean, you know, they're pesos, but I get money.
So, anyways.
That's stronger than the U.S. dollar already?
Yeah. Actually, it's turned out to be a really good investment on my part.
Yes. With the further decline of the U.S. dollar, people start investing in Lindens. Anyways.
Ooh.
Yeah. That was mean. I shouldn't have gone there. Couple of programming notes. Of course, you know, we've got Gen Con coming up. I'm basically leaving right after next week's show. It's like we do the show, go to bed, get up, and go. I mean,
yep.
So,
oh, I'll be way gone before then.
Yeah,
we're going to be cramming into one room, and then the next day we'll have our suites, which should be perfect.
Yeah. So. Well, I thought Saul fixed that. I thought he called him and...
Maybe he did. I
don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell if he's doing anything.
Depending on the setup, so may have me and Suave on the show before we leave.
Oh, okay.
Because he's supposed to be meeting me here Tuesday.
Well, I was kind of thinking it might be a better idea just to, you know, can the show next week and do something when everybody gets together. But
yeah, that could work too.
Or, you know, just do a shorty, or I'll do a full show, and hell, I can get and yell at the microphone by myself. I just, you know, the one time it's happened where I thought I was going to have to do a show, I kind of panicked because I wasn't planning on it, and I didn't have enough stuff in the notes in case I did.
So you want us to bring all of us to bring our own microphones with, if or are you going to have enough?
Well, I've only got two. I might have a third one floating around somewhere, but I've only got two microphones that I would consider decent, and... Oh,
what do you have, the actual mic or a headset mic?
They're mics, real microphones.
Well, I meant heavy.
Oh, no. I'm talking about my crappy-ass one that I'm using right now. I'll just bring it with.
Yeah, just bring it. Better safe than sorry. Worst case scenario, we all crowd around the one mic and yell at it. I mean, you know.
Mm. That's true.
I'll just grab my omnidirectional... bright pale blue plastic one that I got as a children's toy 20 years ago.
You know, you would be surprised. I have found some toy microphones that are actually really damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't expect it. I guess they just happened to get a good run out of, you know, China or Taiwan or wherever they were making them at the time. But,
well, the thing is, they made real microphones and packaged them with toys.
True. That's true. Well, I mean, yeah, if you got one that sounds decent, I mean, the mixer I'm going to bring with me. I'm going to bring my good mixer here with me, which is going to be interesting to see how the thing travels, because it's a full-size desk mixer. Well,
so I'm
going
to have to get a 3.5 to a quarter-inch converter then.
It'll take a quarter-inch. It'll take a XLR. Hell, I might even be able to jerry-rig something else into it. But and I'll pack some random cables and stuff just in case. But, yeah, you know, bring a soldering iron. I'm also going to bring the old Behringer mixer too, because I told RU he could have it since I don't do anything with it anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we need to hook him up for sure. Although he got a nice mic, and then Nox maybe or somebody else needs to get the your other microphone if you're going to give it away to somebody. I plan on buying one. I'm pricing them out right now. So.
We'll see. We'll see what. You know, we're going to do the gear swap anyways when everybody gets up there. So that's.
Yeah.
You know, we try to get as many people kitted out as we can. It's just, I know RU was saying he needed a preamp for that microphone he bought.
Yeah.
And this little mixer has a preamp in it. It's not the greatest, but it works. So,
exactly.
You know, or, you know, he may say hell with it and decide he wants to buy something when he's down here. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Whatever. Also, yeah. I do want to mention, we had some issues with the stream earlier in the week, and You have no idea how much that pissed me off. I do a lot of work on my home network and the broadcast box and doing things to hardware to make sure that my end of it is up and running at all times, right?
Yeah.
And the damn server goes out. Oh, I was mad. But anyways, ooh. I fired off the guys a ticket, and they got it sorted out fairly quickly. I'd say we were back up and running within the hour. So
that's good.
If you were on the stream, I didn't even get a chance to look and see if anybody was on it before the damn thing died out. And I was really mad, too, because the broadcast box had gotten just over 200 hours of continuous broadcast, which I think is pretty good.
Wow. Yeah.
So, anyways, I keep saying it. I've seriously got to sit down and do the clock wheels for it, but that may not happen until after the trip at this point. So... it's kind of a pain in the ass to sit down and sort that much music. Every time I sit down to do it, it's like, I think I'll go work on my Linux server instead. So, anyways, hello, are you all hearing that?
Yep, I heard it.
And some kids outside have firecrackers.
Oh, right.
So,
still July, you know.
Yeah, I just, hello.
I'm just waiting for the corner of my house be blown off by some of the leftover mortars.
That's what you want. You know it's a good 4th of July when you have to do home repair right afterwards. So,
oh, man. We had one at the 4th of July party. One of the guys was firing off a mortar, and it actually tipped over and proceeded to fire into the crowd.
There's a great YouTube video of somebody setting off a Roman candle, and dog runs out and grabs the thing out of the brick they had mounted it in and starts chasing everybody with it. And it's you're shooting at people. And I mean, everybody is between laughing and screaming. It is an outstanding YouTube video. And if I had the link handy, I'd give it to you.
That's awesome.
But in the current events, for one thing, I got to say, going down to one show a week, my stress level way down, at least as far as planning the show goes. So for me, awesome. It's definitely good. I know I had a few people who weren't very happy with me about it, because it's like, but you were doing two, and I was listening to them. I'm like, I'm sorry. So, but...
You're always going to get the bitch from people that are listening to the show, then you cut them down, or you make them longer or shorter or whatever. Well, it doesn't matter. Nobody's happy.
I know. Well, and the concept is that we do, instead of two shows a week, we do one show, and the one show is better because my stress level's down and I have more time to work on it. So,
yeah. Right. And we don't run out of stories due to...
As has happened, where we're all sitting there at the end of the store. Why don't we just end it? I mean, yeah. So, anyways, on the current events this week, I really hit Torrent Freak pretty hard. I guess we're kind of... I'm kind of more focusing on the free media aspect of things now as opposed to the straight-up hacker bullshit. So, anyways, first one here off of Torrent Freak. The MPAA is afraid to disclose their secret anti-piracy strategies, which I can tell you what most of them are. But apparently they, I got the slug right out of the article. In their ongoing battle with file sharing host Hotfile, five MPAA studios have asked the court to disallow Hotfile access to information on their anti-piracy strategies. While drawing an analogy between copyright infringement and drug trafficking, the MPAA studios asked the court to handle their anti-piracy documents as trade secrets to prevent the pirates from getting even more sophisticated than they already are. Basically, last month, movie studios had requested all kinds of information from Hotfile. They wanted IPs, they wanted logs, they wanted the source code to their product. And Hotfile turned around and said, well, fine, we want to see your anti-piracy strategies. And then they balked.
There's this beautiful thing when you go into actual court and you decide not to settle out of it. It's called disclosure, and people get to do it and go both ways,
and
whether you get it or not.
What the heck is trade secrets? That seems like an archaic, rant.
Trade secrets is a legitimate term. That's a that has weight in court when you say this is a trade secret. But that usually doesn't come up in this kind of lawsuit. And I guess my problem with it is they're comparing piracy to drug trafficking.
Okay, which, since when were movies a controlled substance?
Well,
when the MPAA got involved.
Yeah. Well, that's not what my problem with it is. They in the article, they go into, they've got this big quote in there about how, well, you wouldn't ask the cops to tell the drug traffickers, you know, where they're going to stake out and who the undercover agents are and all this other stuff. And you know what my, honestly, when it comes down to it, you know what my big problem with that comparison is? The MPAA and their lawyers are not law enforcement.
It's true.
Cops actually have a legitimate reason to keep that kind of stuff a secret. This is a company. And whereas they might have trade secret, I don't believe their anti-piracy strategies kind of fall under it. It's certainly not their core business.
No, 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 but their anti-piracy strategy does mirror law enforcement's drug war. It's a big cash thing. It's not effective.
Hang on. There you go. I've not fixed the soundboard, so to speak, as in I haven't made the arcade button controller. But I did figure out I could remap some buttons I wasn't using very often on my other controller, so I do have the sound effects now.
Cool.
So, cool. Not quite as quick on the draw with them, but they work.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, and since everybody pretty much hates them anyways, we'll try to keep that light. But, yeah, I mean, this is, it's getting kind of silly at this point with the whole, you know, file sharing thing. And I've got some more stories about that later, but we got a, what's this one? CNN one. This one is kind of hacker bullshit. 14 people have been arrested. Let me get the slug line here. 14 people have been arrested as part of an ongoing operation targeting the notorious hacking collective known as Anonymous. The U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI said on Tuesday. I'm sorry about the fireworks, guys. I didn't know they were going to be doing that. I guess they're trying to use them all up. The individuals were arrested by FBI agents on charges related to their alleged involvement in the cyber attack on PayPal's website, which has been claimed by the Anonymous group. Five additional people were arrested in Europe and two more in the United States for alleged cyber crimes. Yeah, here comes the lockdown.
Except for none of these guys that they got had anything to do with it. Yeah. Or at least were peripheral or were script kiddies or were just trying to be, you know, loudmouth and claim credit. The real folks that did it probably keep their mouth shut, were using proxies and blah, blah, blah. You know?
Well, what they've been doing is they've been going after the people in Anonymous they can identify. That would be the people running the IRC servers and the websites and stuff like that. Because those kind of things, you end up getting tied back to something that could possibly be traced back to a person. So, you know, they're possibly
in a very vague sense.
But, I mean, I guess a good way to put it would be if they came and arrested me for running Galaxy 15 Radio for something that one of the people RU had on his open mic Friday night said, who, you know, when we don't even know who they are, right?
Right.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just... We were calling this back when all the LulzSec stuff was really going hot and heavy that, you know, they're going to use it as an excuse, and, well, here it comes. So
yeah.
We'll see how bad it gets if I have to get licensed to do my day job. Not looking forward to that. Anyways, more Torrent Freak stories. this one is fun. A North London artist, Skepia, put his tracks up on YouTube. Universal issued a takedown notice and then offered to buy the tracks from the guy for Eminem. Let's see here. This is a couple of days old, but you can go back and find it on Torrent Freak pretty easily. What they did was... Good Lord, those things are loud. They issued a takedown notice on some dude's custom tracks, like if Tack had put his stuff up on YouTube...
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they wanted to buy it. They put a takedown notice on it from Universal before they owned it. I'm guessing to control how much exposure. And in the article that, you know, they talked to the guy and they basically paid him a good chunk of change for his music, so he didn't really care. He said he was confused about it, but then they came up and offered him the money and he kind of, you know, dropped it.
How can you issue a takedown notice if it's not even your shit?
Well, because that actually violates
normally
the
DMCA. You get banned from YouTube for that. And they completely disregard all future ones, but these big companies, they have something.
I think they've got some kind of a deal with YouTube to where they get backdoor access to, you know, high-end accounts that they can just block stuff outright. And, you know, as much trouble as they've given YouTube for people uploading copyrighted content, I can't say I'd even blame them for giving them that kind of access, just throwing up their hands and say, fine, fuck it, take down whatever you want.
I'm pretty sure, like, with everything with Google, it's pretty much got to be an algorithm that just goes through and says, so much of this content that's not yours is in your show. Bam, we're taking you down. Even if it is fair use, because Twit gets popped all the damn time for running shit off of YouTube, basically.
Well, but the thing is, they actually bought this guy's music shortly after having the takedown issued.
Right.
But...
And you're absolutely right. This is wrong. I mean, this is absolutely wrong. However,
the analogy we were using is the prize patrol getting the police to bash down your door with a battering ram so they can give you your prize.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty close. Here you go, Knox.
Toasty!
That's pretty close, but it's not... I wouldn't quite put it in those terms. See, the thing that I worry about here is... You know, if you're looking at YouTube not as, you know, just a video sharing site, but actually as a market, as in we're looking for new talent to put on our labels, or in this case work with Eminem, by having that ability to issue the takedown notice, you're controlling market exposure. Mm. You know, if there had been a bidding war for this guy's music between Eminem and some other rapper, he could have gotten a ton more money.
Exactly.
You know, the whole thing is, if he declined the offer, would they allow him to put it back up?
Ooh, well, I don't know.
Would they have to pay him damages for...
Oh, he certainly could have sued him for violation of the DMCA, mm-hmm. because there is a good faith clause in there.
Yeah.
And if they were openly going to buy it, that's obviously they knew it wasn't theirs in the first place. Of course, well, mm-hmm. I don't know. They kind of think they own the entire genre of music at this point, don't they?
Yeah, I'm thinking that the guy basically said, I'm not spending the next 3 years of my life litigating it. I will take the big bag of money and I will go away. Well,
I don't blame him. Somebody shows up with the big bag of money and says, we'll give you your stuff and let you work with famous people. You know, for somebody who's in, you know, does music production, I can see, you know, just the whole, okay.
Yeah, considering if they... pretty grueling life until that you hit it big, or if you hit it big. But really, somebody needs to do this. I mean, that's the problem, is there's not enough people that have the resources, and that's the biggest part, to go against the RIAA and MPAA and basically just start hitting back. Because people need to start running up the bill on them and actually start getting some laws and some precedent set to say, hey, look, guys, sorry, you know, but you've had too free a hand for too damn long a time. Now you need to start obeying the law yourself.
Well, I think they're going to do it to themselves. There was a story I was looking at. I didn't copy it into the show notes for this week because I didn't think it was that impressive of a story. But, you know, I'll just mention it here. There was a pretty good article on... I forgot where I saw it now.
There's been a few cases of companies filing reports against their authorized distributors.
Yeah, that one's pretty funny. Now, the story I was going to say is it's been floating around that they think one of the MPAA companies spent like $3 million prosecuting a file share, and they're only going to get like $54,000 back out of it. So by any way you cut it, that's a bad business deal, legal or not. I mean,
well, they need to set that precedence of they're going after you every single time and you're going to lose money either way.
No, that's true. Although there, you know, just to kind of round out the Torrent Freak articles here, the next one I had was, it was just a good article. It wasn't really pertinent to anything. It's not really news. It was an opinion piece. But if you go on Torrent Freak and look for the It Was Never About the Money Stupid article, it's a great read. And, I mean, it cuts what we're trying to do at G15 to a T. Let's see here. I had some stuff copied out of it. Let's see. It's not a matter of copies having come under competition from something else. It's the matter of copies being entirely decommercialized. People are prepared to pay for work, but making copies is not work anymore. Anybody can do it effortlessly. I've just got cuts out of the article here, the lines I really liked. People don't copy because of a price tag somewhere else, and entirely regardless of what the price tag says. People copy because they can and because it's associated with freedom and it's human nature to share. Near the end of the article, humankind has created culture since we learned to put red paint on the inside of cave walls. Others will pick up the slack immediately. If anything, it would be a blessing if the copyright industry challenged the world to see how well the world did without them. And I totally believe that. I mean, that's one of the principles we do with G15.
Yeah.
Those were full color drawings. Just the stone based ones only survived. Stone based things only.
But I mean, it's just it's a good article because it basically comes at things and explains. Look, we're not, you know, people aren't copying music back and forth despite the record companies. They're copying music back and forth because it's effortless and they can do it and they're helping their friends out.
Well, and not only that, but let's look at the tradition of it. So this copyright thing has only come around relatively recently in human tradition. When we had oral history, people sang songs. I mean, that's the thing. That's how you transmitted it. Is you came up with a song, and other people remembered it, and then they sung it for other people, and it spread around. And you only got paid for the live performances that you did, you know, and that's how work used to work, and people were fine with it. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know...
Well,
it's,
I mean,
okay.
The article makes this great point, you know, I'm kind of paraphrasing now, that, you know, if you're actually performing, if you're actually doing something, people are willing to pay you for the work. But at some point, you're not, you know, people don't perceive the work of it anymore, especially with things like digital distribution. You know, you make it once, and, you know, after that, every other copy is essentially free. And at some point, it just becomes... It's like, oh yeah, here, you like that? Here, let me give you a copy. Let me give you a link. It's not even a question of do you have the rights to distribute that. People don't think in those terms. Those are business terms.
Right.
That's where all this is coming from.
And I mentioned it on this show before, I am a big fan of value add. So maybe you're not going to buy the CD because you can get a digital copy. However, again, if you've got some fan service stuff, like maybe a t-shirt that's got clipped up and put in each CD, or maybe some custom artwork or whatever, now it's value added. Now you've got a thing that you can have that's actually cool. I can see paying for that and selling that.
Well, you know, give you some reason to actually go to the legit source and just get it, as opposed to getting a, you know, rip of MP3s off your buddy who bought it, you know?
Right,
or going to the torrent sites. I mean, it's just, the article is actually really good because it even goes into the economics of it. And it's just a good read, and it does make out the great point that, you know, the first copy was really expensive, but every copy after that is free, and if you understand the concept of a sunk cost, then
and there's another argument to be said that we are paying the cost of it. We're paying for our bandwidth, we're paying for, you know, hard drive, computer space, all of that. It is paying for the cost of the copy.
That's true. And, you know, that was one thing. I don't think I put it in my notes, but the I keep saying essentially free because it's technically not, but it might as well be the cost of an individual copy. I mean,
I pay my electric bill. I mean, I pay, you know, that's the thing is we are paying those costs. You know, it used to be that there would be the cost of making the CD, but there isn't anymore. I mean, it's just servers and that kind of stuff. Is there something to be said for potentially when you pay for your internet that there's a surcharge for any media rights? I could see that. Maybe $5 a month added onto your internet bill that just gets divided out amongst how you do.
My internet bill's high enough already, thanks.
So is mine. But I'm saying that that's a potential solution to the problem, you know?
Yeah. Let's see here. That's a good article. I wanted to point it out. Go on Torrent and freaking read that. And anybody who's listening, you got time. It is a good read. Let's see. This is from Australia. This one's fun. RU's backyard here. 80 students at Prairiewood High School in Sydney Southwest have been suspended for illegally accessing a teacher's internet account. They were trying to access sites like Facebook and Twitter, which students are not allowed to view from their own accounts. The statement makes, you know, they make the statement that no illegal pornographic or student record material was accessed, but they called the cops.
Well,
they called the cops on these kids because some teacher's password got out.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Maybe there was no expense in this time. So I have an analog from back in when I was in junior high school, elementary, or not elementary, junior high school, high school. A buddy of mine was student teacher aide, and he basically ended up doing a Kevin Mitnick and got the teacher's passcode to make long distance calls. And he was doing stupid shit like calling Malaysia and, you know, Australia and stuff. You know, and this is exactly the same thing, except for the cost isn't there. So they made him pay the bill, basically, is what it was, and slapped him on the wrist. And I think that's where you should be, is basically, you know, if there's any cost associated, if they ran up any kind of expenses for whatever thing, then you make the kids pay for it. Other than that, yeah, you slap them on the wrist. You say, okay, sorry, guess what, kids? You've all screwed up. Now you're going to go out there and clean the playground. And by the way, this weekend, if you don't want any kind of further punishment, let's go out there and we'll do some community service. Kind of have to call the cops to do that.
But they were blatantly saying that there was no illegal activity other than, you know, they used the teacher's password. Now, they're teaching them that it's criminal to go around technical measures. And in some instances, it is, but... And from a network, you know, as a network admin, I kind of see where they're coming from, that, oh, they violated our usage policies. But that's, you know, there's high school students. Two, it's a civil matter. Even that instance, yeah. It's not criminal hacking.
You're absolutely right. I think this is more supposed to be a social lesson than an actual criminal lesson.
They called the fucking cops on a bunch of high school kids for using a teacher's password.
Yeah.
That's the most retarded thing I've ever heard.
Yep,
I agree. I'm worried that that's going to become the norm. That's why I'm freaking out about it.
Okay, and I agree with you. If they are going to do that on a regular basis, that's a problem. But here's the other problem: in schools, they're not allowed to do anything anymore as far as punishing the kids. I'm really, honestly, that's the case anymore. You're not allowed to go in there as a teacher. When I was in school, you know, they'd put you over the knee and take a ruler and whack you on the ass and, you know, basically say, hey, look, straighten up. If you were being unruly, maybe that's too far in one direction.
I never got whipped, but I got the ruler across the knuckles a couple of times.
Yeah. It's you fall in that category of how do you punish kids when you're not allowed to do anything? And maybe this is the only way.
Well, I mean, this is the same flip where we have people in the States calling the cops, and they end up tasing, you know, middle schoolers.
Yeah,
my
that's
high
worse.
School had always two cop cars. That means four cops on call, parked at the school, 24 all hours it was open.
Well, okay. Let's clarify something here. I graduated high school in 2000. Knox, when did you get out of school?
About the hell if I know.
You don't know how long it's been since you got out of high school?
No, I went straight into college. Those blended together nicely. And besides that, I actually left the second half to go to a continuation school.
Okay. Heavy, how long has it been since you were in high school?
95.
Ooh. BSV?
2004.
So I'm just going to go. Knox, has it been at least... Has it been less than 5 years, maybe?
More than 5 years.
Less than 10?
Probably less than 10, okay. Yeah.
So...
Definitely.
I don't know. BSV, you're closer to Knox, at, you know, being in high school recently. I don't know. I'm just going with numbers here, because I know it's been 10 years since I was in school.
We actually had
it's just a child prison. It's not a school.
True.
We actually had offices for our police officers in our high school.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah, we didn't ever have the cops in our school, except for they would bring the drug dog once a year and say, this is the drug dog. Hi, folks. Don't do drugs. You know.
Yeah, I remember the
dare
car.
No. They were walking the halls threatening the students in my school.
We did get the random drug searches where they'd come in, take everyone's backpacks, and let the dogs rummage through them.
Let's see here. They'd open up lockers at random. And anybody whose locker was next to a locker with drugs in it, they'd get suspended, too.
What?
Yeah, because it'd freak out the dogs.
Yeah. We'd just basically there. We wanted to clean out our lockers every 6 months because they'd get stanky. So, you know, that's the only reason.
Let's see. I know several people's backpacks got destroyed because they had their lunch in it and the dogs went for the lunch.
yeah.
And the school just said, yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about your luck. You know, here's the tatters of your backpack and your homework for the next class. It's just like, so,
really?
It's like, really? Let's see. We're halfway in. Do we want to hit the last news story, or do you want to go ahead and play the music and come back?
I can quick do it.
Yeah, this is an easy one.
No, we're good.
All right, this is a fun one. It's from Gizmag. A new paper from Microsoft Research provides a different approach that would see servers, dubbed data furnaces, distributed to office buildings and homes where they would act as a primary heat source. I love this. Anybody who's had multiple machines in a room knows, or if you ever been in a data center, you know how loud it is. You know how much heat a computer puts out.
My box keeps me toasty in the wintertime, I tell you what.
It's not just a personal computer. It's a personal space heater.
Absolutely. No, I like this. I'm going to be an early adopter. Man,
I think it's a fun concept. You know, basically they're talking about replacing furnaces with, you know, basically a server rack, you know, putting that in the basement and using that to provide heat to a building. And
now, did they say forced air or water circulation?
It didn't even get into that kind of detail, man. I would assume forced air, but okay. The article is at gizmag.com/data-furnaces-2-heat-the-. You know, I ought to just publish show notes. I really should.
Basically, I was gonna say the idea caught
my eye because the word data furnaces is just awesome.
yeah, it is.
Yeah, I thought you were a burning data there.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, that's interesting. No, I like it. I like the idea. I can see where it would actually apply in my situation.
So would they just run for the heat, or would they actually do stuff?
Well, that's the idea, is you would put these systems in place of your heating unit, and
you would turn your home heating into a profit center.
Well, they would pay you for access to the data center, and
what about your internet connection?
Well, I'm guessing
better.
That goes bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm guessing you'd have to get a better one. But they're talking about doing that and distributing it out that way in population centers as opposed to building dedicated data facilities. And anybody who's ever been in a data center knows they are a pain in the ass and expensive. So I can kind of see where they're wanting to do that.
Yeah.
This does raise a pretty good question, though. What happens in the summer when you want to turn it off?
Well, that's why I was interested in that liquid cooling, liquid heating system, because you could then just route your liquid, the cold water in and cool it that way. Forced air, yeah, you're going to have to basically cut your basement off and just run external air through and hope it keeps it cool.
You just have a pipe you vent it over to just blow the heat out the outside or something, I guess.
If you do have, for heating wise, you may be able to replace your water heater.
Oh, you know, I think it says something. I only ended up skimming the last half of the article. I think it said something about water heaters in there, so that may be, that may certainly be the case.
Yeah, water makes a lot of sense to me, because then again, you're running cold water through the summertime. At least here, we've got plenty.
Yeah, I just thought it was a neat concept. They're coming at it from the whole environmentalism thing, but I see it as an efficiency. It's like if you're just generating heat, you know, why not do something that gets a little bit of work done with it? So,
and think about this, you know, at least to pay the cost of your internet bill.
Go ahead, BSB.
And instead of just having large things set up to abate the heat, actually use the heat.
Yeah. Were you going to try to say something, Knox?
No.
Okay. So that's pretty much all we had story-wise. So I had a bunch of others, but I sent them over to Yugo because I couldn't really use them. So I am going to go into our break music here. So I got this stuff from CC Mixer. It's Alex Barroza's profile. She's got Alex could be either way. this person is, they've got some neat stuff. They've got several tracks here. So I've got a couple of them picked out, and we're going to play Trash the Disco for our break music from Alex Barroza's profile on CC Mixer. They haven't done albums. It's just they have like 200 some odd tracks. So let me just mute the Skype call here, and I will mute myself and play the music. We'll be right back. right. That was something a little different. Call should be back. We lost Heavy there.
Mm. Right, right. And by little different, you mean completely different, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Well, you know. So, and then the closing song's kind of different from that, too. So, you know. And you can follow my definition of kind of there. So, see, Digital Dojo stuff tonight. You know, I ought to make section bumpers. Just
section bumpers?
You know, like shows that, you know, they're going to do a section and they, you know, they have, you know, some, you know, sound effects come in, play whooshes, and, you know, some announcer says.
You just want to play with your buttons, Mer.
Quiet you.
Digital Dojo!
Yeah, okay. Okay, fine. Bad idea. Yeah. Anyways, here's fun stuff. First of all, this is kind of an older thing, but it's worth reading. If you go to KrebsOnSecurity.com/all-about-skimmers, he's got a link to a ton of different posts where he's got pictures of all kinds of different ATM skimmers, what they are, and, I mean, you know, kind of start getting an idea of how to detect the damn things. I know for a fact that a town not far from me had well over 150 people get their credit cards stolen because somebody got some skimmers installed. I know they caught some people trying to install them around here.
Right, and I'm kind of worried around here. They're just going to stick a USB stick on the ATM and you're going to have it.
Well, you know, if the ATM actually has its USB ports exposed, they kind of deserve what's going to happen to them.
Well, no, just that the people changing out the money don't really pay that much attention.
Oh, really? They, like, leave them open and shit?
And especially the techs that have to reinstall it periodically.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Well, you know,
I watched one accidentally leave his keyboard in it and had to open up again.
Well, anyways, I actually read out the URL on that one because I do think it's a good idea to go check it out. KrebsOnSecurity.com, find his skimmer stuff. He's got lots of pictures of different skimmers, and some of them are really good. And there's essentially a website selling kits now. So, yeah, that's kind of a good digital self-defense measure. There is, you know, figure out what to look for on them, and, you know, before you use an ATM, maybe you take a crowbar to it a little bit just to make sure that it's not going to skimmer. Of course, I can only imagine how much trouble you'd get into if you start sitting there poking the ATM with a crowbar a little bit before you use it. So I imagine somebody could get freaked out.
Might want to poke the camera first if you're doing that.
Yes, yes. And, you know, so, well, that's what ski masks are for, right? So, anyways. Next tool here, this one is nice and scary, routerpwn.com, you know, pwn as in PWN. This thing is the shit, actually. It's sort of like an exploit database for home routers. All the tools are in JavaScript. It's mostly for getting into their web configs, adding, you know, changing passwords, just getting into them. It's all in JavaScript. You can actually pull the whole damn thing down and run it from, you know, a local copy of on like your phone. He's got instructions of how to download it and run it from your smartphone.
Ooh.
And it's all kinds of you just go in there and you click IP, you tell it what IP to attack, you click, you know, run, basically, if it's got other options. But yeah, it's all kinds of little JavaScript exploits for just taking over people's home routers.
And
so,
let's admit it, most of them you're just going to walk right through.
Well, that's true, but this is for the ones where somebody's actually thought to set a password. So, you know, just to scare you a little bit, yeah, seriously, go check out routerpwn.com. That is a good excuse to go buy a new router, if nothing else. Find one that's not on the list, and...
Well, one that's not on the list is probably one that has a good reason to not be on the list.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, you might check and see if there's a firmware update that fixes the hole. What this really is while, yes, it's kind of funny, and aha, I can pwn your router, it's more to just smack the people who make them in the face. It's like, yeah, hey, Linksys, you know, all the shit where we can get into your routers, are you going to fix that, or are you just going to let your customers get owned by this easy-to-use script kiddie tool? That's what it really is. And we'll get into that here in a minute, one of the topics. Let's see here. Last thing in the Digital Dojo, thoughtcrime.org/software.htm. Lots of good tools there, including SSL Sniff and SSL Strip. And while these do sound like things that would go on in a strip club, these are actually tools for when you've manned in the middle to somebody. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. Essentially, they're it's a good reason to make sure, especially like when you're on public Wi-Fi, to just do some lightweight checking and make sure that you're not going through, say, somebody else's laptop. You know, because there are tools that like, well, I'm logging into my bank. Hello, that was
really
loud. So. Oh yeah, actually, this guy at thoughtcrime.org, he actually got his he had a PayPal donation box and they shut it down because it's like, oh, you're making tools to hack PayPal. No, actually, I'm making tools to hack everybody. But
you know, PayPal shut you down because, or was it PayPal that shut him down?
It was PayPal that shut him down. It's just because they didn't like him.
Way to make somebody angry at you who has a gun.
So let's see here. We got a couple of topics we can roll right into. First one, I don't know if you guys are going to be that interested in talking about it. I am, but you know, there are like that, you know, router pwn that I just talked about. There's, you know, things like Metasploit. There's plenty of, you know, you go on ExploitDB. There's plenty of scripts out there for just owning stuff. Are you all even interested in talking about, you know, should this shit get published?
You know, it probably should. You know, it's going to make it easier for people to do it. More people are going to do it. But when it comes down to it, the people who do it professionally are going to have a harder time because companies are driven to actually defend against that.
Yeah. Mm. That's the argument is, you know, if the tools are out there, it's a great way to get a bug fixed is to put out a Metasploit module. That'll get it fixed in a week because, you know, the moment it's in Metasploit, it looks bad for the company. I mean, that's just a smack in the face. It's just like, oh yeah, look, your shit is broken. So, it's kind of a moot question since the stuff's out there and, you know, we should be dealing with reality, not what-if situations. But it's fun to talk about, so I thought I'd at least bring it up. But, all right, well, let's move on to next one. What we got here? Tech recycling. I saw this one after reading an article on Hackaday about a guy salvaging a 14-year-old PowerPC Mac. He wanted a bench machine. And in the article, he goes through a lot of trouble to make a video card work with an OS 9 Mac. Apparently, had to have a different size ROM chip on it, or EEPROM. So he desolders it, orders one online, and solders it onto the card.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work just to get a video card to work. Apparently, the machine was so old. I don't know that much about older Macs, but I guess they used a different connector than the VGA connector. So,
most definitely.
Well, I know they had a lot of their own connectors for stuff.
That's more recent than 14 years, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't paying attention that much before then. So, at least as far as Macs go, I was just kind of, you know, it's like, yeah, whatever, Mac. Don't care. But,
14 years, that's a serial cable to your monitor case, isn't it?
It's up there. It is up there. But, I mean, I don't know. I kind of enjoy reusing old computers and electronics for stuff. I mean, it can be useful, although I'm wondering how often it's just nostalgia. So, I don't know. I mean, I got a couple of old Commodore 64s in the closet I keep planning on getting out and doing something with. If nothing else, just getting them to make noise.
Right.
Right. Of course, you know, that does raise the question, how the hell do you network a Commodore 64? Because that would be really useful just to have a text terminal on the thing, you know?
Oh, you need a little robot to move the 5-inch floppies from one to the other.
We'll put a microcontroller on it that's more powerful than the Commodore itself to give it a network card. I don't know. I mean, do you guys use any really old machines?
Yeah, I still dig out the 3.1 from time to time.
You do stuff with Windows 3.1?
Yeah. Mostly games that don't run on the newer computers.
Ah, now that's actually a good point. You know, if you've got software
like if I want to run something that goes in DOS, I'll just dig out the 3.1. I won't bother with trying to get DOSBox to work because I think I need an actual another program to reverse compatibility to that.
Well, I guess, you know, that raises the question, how old of your electronics is too old to still be useful? I mean, you know, I've got a little 486 laptop, 4 mega RAM, black and white screen that I've actually put quite a bit of work into, you know, swapping out. The damn thing will run on AA's now.
that sounds useful.
As long as it still works, I don't see why it would be too old.
Well, I mean, I see people throw away computers all the time. It's like, oh, yeah, it's 4 years old. I can't use it anymore. You know, they go buy a new one and throw that one away.
Yeah, but a lot of people are idiots, too.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's definitely a...
Toasty!
Anyways, that's the quote of the night. A lot of people are idiots anyway. But, you know, I mean, you know, from maybe a security standpoint, you know, the old software is probably full of holes, but do your modern script kiddies who've grown up on Windows XP have any clue how to go after, say, the old Unix systems or DOS?
Oh, probably heck, they don't even know how to use DOS properly, much less sneak into it. Unless they play a lot of Fallout.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's certainly that, but I mean, you know, if you're running a DOS machine and you do manage to get it on the internet, it's possible. I mean, I don't think any worms are going to be targeting you just out of sheer...
Because the worms will be bigger than your system to start with, but...
It's like, well, you know, you don't have enough memory to load the worms, so that's a defense. Well, it just won't run, so, you know, I like that, actually. I really do. But, I mean, okay, you know, we've kind of hit computers with it. What about other old tech, like, I don't know, tape players or really old cell phones?
I use the tape player still to play tapes.
Have tapes? I actually found a bunch the other day. I don't have a tape player anymore, but I found a bunch of tapes out in the garage the other day. God knows what they're from.
Let's see, you've got some Black Sabbath I need to listen to, and I've been too lazy to pirate it. Because, of course, I can't download it legally in the new playback system.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could always just dub it over to MP3 yourself. Of course, you'd probably get something cleaner if you just went on the torrents. But, you know, hell, you've got it on tape, so why would you? Why should you?
Oh, no. I don't have no dubbing equipment to get it onto my computer.
Really? You just need a line. You just need a cable. I mean.
Yeah. Although, I'm still not able to find one of those.
Oh, fair enough. Although, you know, having good sound interfaces is handy for that, too. I've actually been... What I've got now is a couple of these Behringer sound interfaces, because I've been getting them on Amazon. They're about $30 a piece, which is a pretty good price, and that's what I'm talking to you guys on now and what we're broadcasting on. I think they sound pretty good. And they're line level, which is handy. Most sound cards are not line level. They're all amped to hell and make really working with audio equipment difficult.
Right. Those amps and some of the sound cards and microphones, they're just... better off making your own.
We could...
Better off grab making the speaker wire, a washer, and a magnet, and get to work.
Nice. We ought to have Tack on and just let him rant about crappy computer audio equipment. That would just be a whole show, just him going nuts. But... So I don't know. I mean, I save all my old tech because I always think I'm going to find uses for it, or at least the parts. But I fully admit I'm insane. So
I don't know if I'm a pack rat or just
probably not a good idea.
Go ahead, BSV.
I don't know if I'm a pack rat or just don't like throwing it away.
Well, it's like, you know, if it still works.
Yeah.
Mom found a box of old cell phones the other day. She's like, well, we don't really know what we're going to do with these. Just hang on to them. I'll pick them up next time I'm home. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do with them? If nothing else, I'm probably going to rip the screens out of them. You know, they're good little character LCD screens or something. So,
pretty much what I did with all my other old phones. They ask you if you want them to get rid of it.
Nope.
I want to keep the components. I paid for them.
Yeah. Actually, this is a fun story. This happened on an older cell phone back when I was still using a feature phone. I had bought a Sony Ericsson cell phone. And I had one of those industrial contractor belt clips for it, because that way I wouldn't lose it, right? And I slipped. It was winter. I was wearing some boots that didn't actually have that good traction. And I slipped on some ice going to my car to get, go to work. And I landed on the phone. Now, I am not a small individual. So, you know, I managed to hit it with some force and crushed it pretty good, right? So, I go and get a new one. Same model, because I like the phone. And about 2 months after I get the new phone, I drop the damn thing. And it didn't fall very far, maybe half a yard, but it hit concrete, and it must have hit it at just the right angle, because the radio quit working on it. I don't know, the antenna went out or something. Weird. And I, you know, you hit it just right. So, but I had kept the broken one, and I was able to take them apart, the broken one, the one that was crushed, and I took the one that was crushed and the circuit board from the bottom half of it, because, you know, it's a clamshell, and I took the screens from the one that just the radio went out, put them together, and was able to get a functioning phone out of it, and that Frankenstein phone. It didn't look it though. It looked fine, because you know I had a good case to work with for the most part. That thing worked for years after that. So
well, yeah,
you know that's one good reason to hang on to your old stuff is repairs. So, ooh. I just now looked at the time. Well, hell, we can go long.
There's not another show on after you.
Not yet. I'd love to have one, though. I'd love to be able to, like, oh, we got to go. We got somebody else coming on the stream.
That if we have awesome. Any listeners yeah, and want the show, contact Merps.
Contact more. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love to have another show.
If we have any listeners, contact us anyway. Yeah. We'd really like to know you're out there.
Go on the feedback page. Leave us feedback. You know, tell us how much you love us or hate us. I don't care. anyway,
just let us know you exist.
And
not crazy.
Yeah, final topic I had. Oh, I fully admit I'm crazy. final topic we had on the slate to talk about tonight was the Aether mod for Minecraft. Have either of you played with that yet?
I might be doing that right now.
You're playing Aether mod right now?
Yeah.
You've been playing this the entire time during the show, right?
Yeah.
Height of professionalism. Height of professionalism. I love it. Have you played it, BSV?
No, I don't even know what it is.
It's a Minecraft mod.
Well, I know that part. I don't know what it does. Mods do stuff. I know that much. I don't know what this one does.
Like, thank you, well, Captain like of the Obvious.
You could kind of go to hell. You kind of go to heaven in this one.
It's harder than the hell level, though.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's being marketed as an entire expansion.
Well, it feels like it. I mean, it's all new items. You gotta ditch your diamond stuff when you get there because it's not as good.
Actually, your hands are better at that point.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, I'll save that for next week, the Aether mod, because that'll be something good we can talk about a lot, especially if you have time to play with it. Because I've played with it a little bit, and I've had some fun with it, but we're just running out of time, and we're not going to do it justice.
Here we go. I have one hint on the Aether mod. Yes, you can ride the flying animals back down to the normal world.
Oh, I haven't tried that. You can, yeah. If you jump off of one of the islands, you fall and you fall back to the normal world. And so far, every time it's happened to me, I've landed on land right next to water. And it's just like, damn it!
You remember your parachutes, people.
Yes. Remember.
That's one thing that they should do instead of having it separate. Pretty much have it.
Oh, where you could just climb?
Yeah.
Well, like Terraria does.
Somebody is working on that. It was on Notch's blog. They're working on actually doubling the height of the normal world, stacking it on top of the Nether, stacking the Skylands on top of that, and stacking the Aether on top of that.
But are they going to put bedrock in between them? So, you know, does it matter?
Well, you just have gaps now and again.
Presumably not.
Ah.
Especially for the Skylands and Aether, which don't have bedrock.
Yeah, well, you know, and that could be a whole question itself, finding a gap in the bedrock to get into the Nether. So, anyway, so we're just short of time, so we'll save Aether mod for next week. And there's some interesting stuff going on in the background on that. Apparently, they put a banning system in a single player mod. I don't quite know why. And there was some stuff going back and forth with those guys in the Yogcast. Apparently somebody said they tried to, the authors of the mod, like, tried to, I don't know, blackmail them and get a good review out of them. I don't know. I've got to do a lot more reading on that.
Yogcast would have done any review if that had happened. These free reviewers, they're kind
of... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And they did do a review of it. I've watched their videos of it.
I think that's just a bad rumor about that.
You know, that very well could be. And that's another good reason to put it off to next week, is to actually do some proper research on this before we just start spouting shit off. So I don't actually know that that happened. So we'll just leave it at that. Real quick, promos. Of course, check out RU's Open Mic Friday Nights. Didn't he do one recently?
I don't know. Was there a Friday recently?
I don't know. they jumble up the calendars anymore. Of course, we have I Have Nothing this... not this Saturday. We're skipping it, aren't we? Yeah.
Since people are traveling.
Yeah. No,
unless
I Have Nothing.
You and me and...
if anybody's there, it'll be a random group of people with no order whatsoever. So no more show.
Yeah, well, okay. There may or may not be an I Have Nothing Saturday, depending on how bored we are. Of course, Hugo's Newsreel on Thursdays, and the Galaxy 15 Radio website and Twitter handles at galaxy15radio.com and the Twitter and at galaxy15radio. And as I was saying earlier, please go on there, leave us feedback. There is a feedback form. Use it. We want to hear from you, even if it's just to tell us to shut the hell up. So with that, I'm going to mute the Skype call. I'm going to mute myself, and I'm going to play our final track, Strike the Root, and close out the show.
You and me.